The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a fresh edition of A Numbers Game. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bar Canada at the Dean, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Ben Wilson here on VSiN and the DraftKings Network. A very happy Kelly Bidlin, our producer, right next to me on the desk, because NBA is back tonight, Kelly.
Yeah.
Let's go. The wait is over.
I was going to say, man, don't call me out just because Charm's on TV, okay?
There's a lot of
Charm. Charm is on a lot of TVs in here, okay?
It may or
may not. NBA's back, though. Let's go, baby.
Well, they've already got TNT set up for you.
That's right. Yeah, ready to go.
Time-honored tradition is waking up after, you know, a random slumber after having NBA on TNT on, and you get some random show.
That's right. Yeah, every morning. Every morning, one of my TVs has Charmed on. That's
TV
for sure.
When
I turn them on. Every single, what is it, after it'll be Wednesday and Friday mornings.
Yeah. And now with the NHL, we had TNT last night for NHL.
That's right.
Bruins Oilers game. So you've got to cover now if you really want to, like 4 days a week.
And that's right.
We're coming on here. Kelly rattling through every single character of the Charmed franchise. Always great. We will talk NBA. We have a lot of different NBA topics today. Tim Murray, our colleague, joins us to talk college basketball in a half hour as well. A lot of great games. A tremendous upsets last night on the card as well. We'll not only do college basketball, but we will do heavy NBA. Nick Whalen, our pal over at RotoWire, will join us as well, top of our next hour. And then Matt Grissom to talk college baseball, outstanding college baseball analyst for College Insiders, joins us at 11:30 Eastern because the people have spoken, Kelly. They want college baseball talk today and tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
I mean, if you're going to be on the...
Give it to them.
If you're going to be on this show, Ben, yeah, you got to give the A&G audience what they want. That's college baseball stuff. So we're doing it. Yeah, we're going.
We got it. You can do the ESPN Plus, the quad box on your Apple TV, and it's been great. You got college basketball, and then I've got some random, like, Oklahoma-Dallas Baptist game. I'm like, this is awesome. We're back.
That's great.
College baseball. Well, NBA's back tonight, and already we have stars sitting, and the biggest star in the league is LeBron James, who announces yesterday he is out for tonight's game. Lakers at Warriors, expected to headline the start of the second half. I guess second half in quotes, since we are well past the halfway point, but second half post All-Star break. And Kelly, you got all over this thing right away. We opened 3 yesterday, and with that news coming out on LeBron, quickly got up to 4.5, and now we sit 6 market-wide as we sit 10 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, just macro real quick on LeBron. This is, he did kind of warn about this. I didn't really think it was going to happen when he brought it up, Ben. I just thought it was kind of we're limping to the end of the NBA season. Everybody's kind of banged up a little bit. But this is a big time game tonight for where these two teams are at in the standings. So for him to be missing this, definitely a bit of concern. If you are a Lakers backer or you got futures tickets on the Lakers, or if you're a Lakers fan, I was kind of surprised to see that come down yesterday. I did jump on the Warriors when it was moving, Ben. I only caught it, though, at 5. So I got the Warriors -5 tonight. Frankly, though, you talked about where this opened at. With LeBron James being ruled out, I'm surprised this number hasn't gotten bigger on the Golden State side. I would think it probably does as we go through the course of the day here. And people, people remember, hey, the NBA's back. Let me see what I can bet tonight. And Lakers-Warriors will jump out to them. I would expect this gets close to 6.5, 7, something like that. LeBron James is worth more than 3 points to a line. I think it's probably playable still at 6. These are two teams that I have rated fairly close together. So you talked about what 3, 3.5 pretty much being the opener, right? That's right where I thought it should be at. Now you're talking about a move only up to 6 with LeBron out. I think it's still bettable at 6, or you could look to attack this one live tonight.
And for LA now, just going forward, and we'll do the full breakdown here of the not only the in-season odds, because you have win total odds that are out there right now. Kelly and I each have selected our favorite ones to talk about. I don't want to step on your toes if you chose the Lakers here, Kelly, but this is a team that has a 10th toughest strength of schedule remaining.
Yeah.
You already have LeBron after a long absence now sitting out the first game, a huge marquee game out of the break. You're +105 to make the playoffs. You're right in the heart of that chase right now, and +105, that is assuming you win your play-in tournament games, because the Lakers right now are the 9 seed and they're 2 back of the Kings, 2.5 back at Dallas for the 7 seed, and that first team there in the play-in tournament. You know, a team that has been up and down all season under head coach Darvin Ham, and you're left wondering, well, if this is the case for LeBron coming out of healthy rest, what's it going to be like when the Lakers need to win games down the stretch against a lot of really good competition?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, we're going to talk win totals next segment. I think both of these teams, You could make great cases for, I think you could make good cases to bet an under on current win totals for Golden State and LA. But man, we're looking, if you're watching at home right now, you're seeing exactly what the standings are looking like and what the play-in tournament situation could be. I still have enough faith in the greatness of players that are LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, that those teams are going to be fighting hard and not fall at least out of that picture there in those 9-10 spots. So probably it wouldn't be an under bet for me on either one of those teams, but I can understand if that's the way you're looking on each one of them.
Yeah, so, and both teams certainly trended really well heading into the break. Lakers win 7-10, Warriors 8-10, both top five in offensive rating over the last 15 games. So there are things to like about both teams, especially on the Lakers front, though. No LeBron tonight, understandably so. That line has zoomed up. So we'll talk about those win totals coming up here in a little bit. Again, Nick Whalen from RotoWire joins us as well. Also a big hoops night. I was trying to get Kelly here to watch some college basketball last night. You obliged, Kelly, and you caught a really good night. Yeah. We had upsets galore. And if you're betting this stuff, especially like if you're playing favorites and they're up big late, and let's say you had Illinois last night, who were up 7 with 40 seconds to go, were covering against Penn State. Not only do they not cover, they lose the game outright. And it's part of this growing trend now, Kelly, where we always love to poo-poo the idea of what does it really matter, the rankings. Bettors don't care. Odds makers don't care. But there is this interesting development here in the college basketball season where the ranked teams on the road against unranked teams. Now, if we're just talking straight up, setting aside the odds, are only winning at a 55% clip this year. That is on pace for by far the worst record in the modern AP poll era. Think about that, 55% straight up, and that's including everybody. I mean, that even includes, when Marquette goes on the road against DePaul as a 20-point favorite. That's everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably the smaller conference ones are the ones where it's more shocking, right? Because you usually have one or two of those teams that might be at the top, and then you've got some bottom feeders that they can beat up on. So, yeah, that is pretty stunning.
Like Penn State upsets Illinois last night, 90-89, had a 4% win probability with one minute to go. That was crazy. LSU stuns Kentucky at the buzzer last night there. Kentucky was ranked 17th. So it's fascinating how this has worked. And we kind of juxtapose this too with one other recent trend that tends to be bet a lot. And it's the whole idea of the unranked home team who's actually favored against the ranked road team. So what I just said, Kelly, you would assume, oh, this thing has been a great betting vehicle this year.
Yeah.
And yet, it actually hasn't, at least against the number, because the odds makers have adjusted so well that, really these numbers have gotten inflated to the point where you're better off taking the dog. We had one example of that last night where Colorado State goes to New Mexico. I'm based on the closing line, I made a really bad bet. I bet Colorado State on the opener +6, close +8.5 in some shops, Kelly. Game was played within 3 pretty much the whole way. There was a brief stretch where New Mexico got up 6 or 7 early second half, but that was a tight game all the way. One of the best games of the season as the two teams exchanged buckets back and forth in the final 2 minutes. Just go back and watch the final 2 minutes of that game if you haven't already. I mean, it was an unbelievable finish, but that's another example of how that line at 8.5 at close was ridiculously high, and we're now 18-18 against the number. This season, you're losing money if you just bet those spots situationally. Even in a season where the ranked road teams are doing horribly on the road, it still has not really manifested into actually cashing tickets.
Yeah, I think it's just a good overall point about trends, right? Like it is, what was our old friend Jimmy Carl say? Trends don't pay the rent. That is the case. You need to make sure you're tracking these things every year. And look, I think in general, right, that is it's a solid overall trend to be aware of every college basketball season if you are betting college basketball regularly. But yeah, it's not every game is not created the same. Every matchup's not created the same. And then some of these years it turns into stuff like that. So it's not shocking to hear that's happening.
Right. And the other part of this too, and it's not, again, what are we looking for? Actionable information, right? I don't know how actionable this is. It's more just a commentary for, a lot of the casual bettors who, they see Selection Sunday coming up, they're or wanting to get involved now. They're at least paying attention here to the lines every day. This has been, as far as I can remember, Kelly, one of the worst years for pro bettors in college basketball in a really, really long time. And we were joking last night just over text how, the one side I bet that was, a pro side that moved 2 points in my direction, I was never close to covering with Alabama. The one side where I was totally against the smart money was an easy win. I mean, and that's kind of how this college basketball season has been. There's a really respected syndicate that's been doing this for a really long time that is having their worst season ever. and has been that has been very a very publicly known thing in the betting circles. That's not to say you should just say, oh, what are the pros betting? Go the other way. It's just more to have that context now going forward where you really need to be going deeper into your analysis of these games if you're a bettor and not just blindly saying, oh, hey, 2-point line move here. Great situation there. Yeah. Let me just follow that because it has not been profitable whatsoever. And you only know that that is going to grow as we go to the NCAA tournament where the variance rises and you have much more handle and action on these games.
Yeah, I think it applies to, I mean, look, I've noticed that big time in the NBA this season too, where I feel like I have been kind of like you had last night, whatever number I'm grabbing moves against me, ends up closing. I could have gotten a better number. And, you know, majority of them, I'm still cashing. I think there's some of that has to do with, so you know, every single year we're going to bring this up, you know, until all 50 states, I guess, are legalized. But we've got more and more bettors in the market every single year. So yeah. It does mess with your head. But I think I've been lucky that when those were happening to me early in the NBA season, I was still winning them enough that I didn't really let it affect my betting. But because it is, you know, over the long run, that closing line value, it's called value for a reason. You are getting value if you're getting close, you know, if you are getting value on whatever the closing number is, if you're getting a better number than what that is, over the long run, that is going to turn into winning bets for you. But it's season to season, it can change a little differently. Yeah. And you are seeing some people in better stuff.
Not like we're sitting out here saying, oh, yeah, you should feel great about yourself if you take +6 and the game closes.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah, but yeah. It's just more something to keep in mind here as we go forward here. There's only a few weeks left in the college basketball regular season, and then Selection Sunday right around the corner as well. When we come back, we'll dive into NBA in-season win totals with the post-All-Star break schedule starting tonight here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our daily best bets emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSIN.com/pro. And speaking of our college basketball experts, we have Tim Murray coming up with us right now here on A Numbers Game. We had a great card last night, Kelly. Unfortunately, tonight leaves little to be desired. Kelly, you were saying because of the NBA coming back, that was your thought?
Season starts tonight for a lot of people. You got to clear out the college basketball, man.
Meanwhile, Tim's shaking his head over at home here as he joins us right now. Tim, going back to last night first, since there's not a ton of great games on the card tonight, and then we'll get into just some big picture stuff. Yeah. What do you make of what's going on with the usage of Rob Dillingham in Kentucky, which has been this consistent story now in SEC play? It's like Coach Calipari barely wants to play him, yet he comes out, he's rising in all the mock drafts in the NBA ranks for next year. Hits a ridiculous fadeaway to give Kentucky a late lead. They then get walked off on a buzzer beater by LSU last night. Seems really bizarre for a Kentucky team that is faded in SEC play and now sits on the 6-seed line as we stand today.
Yeah, it is. It's really, you know, I'm going to use a word that I'm excited to use. Befuddling. Doesn't
yes.
make a ton of sense when you look at, I mean, I know, Ben, you're more piped into, you know, the draft kind of world than I am, especially with the G League work that you do. But I mean, in a pretty weak draft, he's a guy that's going to be, I don't know if he'll be number one, but he's going to be definitely high up there. And it's really made not a ton of sense. And then this Kentucky team doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, what I'm curious about, guys, moving forward, if you look at, you know, the futures market, and, you know, last night was another case, right? They weren't top 10, as I've heard, you know, veer into Illinois. But, you know, I had Penn State last night, and honestly, I thought I was fortunate to get the cover, and then they win the game outright.
We were just talking about that.
Seven with like a minute to go. So it's just that's just what this year has been. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating tournament. And I think Kentucky, to your point, Ben, is going to be one of those teams where, you know, on the first Friday or whenever, you know, first Friday of the tournament and Kentucky gets knocked out, we're going to say, yep, we saw it coming. But we could also say, this Kentucky team makes a run to the Elite Eight / Final Four, and you're like, yeah, they got the talent out there. So I think they're kind of one of the unique aspects of this entire college basketball season. I mean, look at this run here. You lose at home a couple Saturdays ago to Gonzaga, a team that, I mean, it felt like from the betting standpoint, and I know in, I don't know if a lot of people in Human's contests laid it with Kentucky, but I certainly knew a couple people who just thought that was a slam dunk. They lose that game outright as a 4-point favorite, and then you fast forward to last weekend, guys, and they go to Auburn and they pull out a win as an 8-point dog. And then last night, as you alluded to, they lose to LSU, which was a kind of a classic letdown spot. But I mean, that's what this year in college basketball really has been. And hell, I mean, you could even lump UConn and Purdue into falling into that recently with, you know, Purdue losing to Ohio State. And then, you know, yesterday or two nights ago, losing UConn, losing to Creighton. But, you know, back to your initial answer or question. Yeah, I don't fully understand what Kentucky's doing from a usage standpoint of the talent that they have on this roster. And Coach Cal has done this before. You know, Gary Parrish of CBS has talked about it. Where this is not new. I mean, there have been moments. I mean, Devin Booker, look up his numbers from his time at Kentucky. Yeah. He averaged like 17 minutes a game. I mean, it's pretty wild how he will do this. But Kentucky's one of those teams where, you know, for us as bettors, I kind of want them to keep losing just to see if we can, you know, maybe get them. I don't know. It kind of feels a little bit like when Kentucky beat Wichita State when they were the undefeated one seed. Like, could we get them on that 6 line or 7 line and they could be a really sneaky second round kind of, upset type of play?
Yeah, Kentucky was an 8 seed that year, made the run to the Final Four. Yeah, so you still feel bad for the Wichita State drew Kentucky. Still feels like an egregious,
that was brutal,
egregious,
man.
I mean, decision by the committee. I still remember that was, it was not a fun
undefeated
time.
Undefeated out of the Missouri Valley, and they put them there in the 1 line against Kentucky. What ridiculous.
Yeah, I still remember that. I agree wholeheartedly with you on that, Tim. 10 years later, we go to, and as a result of that, you know, you look at the bubble now, because of all the parity in college basketball, the bubble is as fascinating this year as I can remember, Tim, with so many teams who have either worked their way onto it after seemingly being dead in the water, or now all of a sudden being in peril of missing the tournament after looking like a rock solid team earlier in the season. Your team that kind of fits in the former category is Villanova. As we have some of these bubble props right now at DraftKings, I'm shocked that Villanova, there's -130 to make the tournament. They're 15-11. They've gotten hot recently. They're still in the next four out category, at least in Lenardi's bracketology at ESPN. Having 1-3-4, but they still have to go at UConn, do get a home game against Creighton here down the home stretch. And Cal Neptune's team is playing really good defense right now. Offense still leaves a lot to be desired. What do you make of this home stretch here for Nova as a -130 favorite to get into the big dance?
Yeah, and as we're sitting here, and you know, we talked about it last night, and we're, you know, I think me, JVT, and Jim Root, who was on the show last night, are kind of kicking ourselves because we were throwing around these props, and Cincinnati was one that we said, you know, maybe we play the no after they beat Oklahoma State. Well, they lost to Oklahoma State, and now they are in some trouble. They are, you know, per bracket matrix. And now bracket matrix, I reference it a lot on my show. For those who do not know, bracket matrix is a really good resource to utilize, especially if you want to bet into these markets of the will they or won't they make the NCAA tournament, because it's an aggregation of all the bracketologists out there. But you got to remember, not all of these have populated yet. Not everyone's spitting them out every single day, like you alluded to. So yeah, Villanova, you know, for them, they are very, you know, hard team to figure out when you look at, you know, what their body of work to this point. You know, you think back earlier in the year, Ben, they went, you know, and did that. I think they went to the Bahamas and won some really big games. But, you know, for Villanova, I'm not seeing this as a full on, you know, like they should be a favorite to make the NCAA tournament type of team. I mean, think about it this way. They got UConn on Saturday, so they're going to be a massive underdog in that spot. They still have Creighton, albeit they get that at home. Tricky road game at Providence, at Seton Hall. I would certainly look at right now, without fully diving into, you know, all the yes and no's, but I would look at the no on Villanova at even money, guys, just because of, you know, where they sit right now, what the schedule looks like. It feels like a bit of an overreaction to, you know, look, a nice win yesterday over Butler, but, or 2 days ago, I should say, but I don't know. I mean, you've got road games at UConn, Providence, and Seton Hall still left, and a home game against Creighton, who, you know, is certainly feels like they're hitting their stride at the right time there. So, you know, we'll see what happens here with Kyle Neptune's squad moving forward. But, yeah, I alluded to that, you know, stretch earlier on in the year where they got some nice wins. They, you know, they beat North Carolina, which is helping out. The Memphis win, we'll see. Doesn't look as good as maybe it was when they got it back in late November, as Memphis got a much needed win and they play FAU. You know, the interesting one, Ben, is a team that plays tonight in this yes-no market. It's Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga is probably one of the last four in at this point in time. They have one quad one win to their resume right now, which is the road game against Kentucky. They'll still have a couple opportunities upcoming as they go to San Francisco and to St. Mary's. But, you know, Ben, we were talking about this last night on the show. They're minus $3 to make the NCAA tournament. I don't see that right now for this Gonzaga team. While they're probably in the field at this point in time, you got to remember some of these bubble teams, if they make a run in their conference tournaments, you just add a lot to your resume. The only reason I wouldn't race to take the 220 is that we know living here in Vegas how often this Gonzaga team goes to the Orleans and wins that conference tournament. Yep. So, I mean, obviously, if you win the auto bid, you're getting in and you win your bet. So I wouldn't recommend by any stretch of the imagination minus $3. That price is off. However, I would be nervous to take the plus 220, Ben, just because of the possibility and the reality that Gonzaga in a win, in a must win spot on a Tuesday night in March at the Orleans, AKA Spokane South, that they beat St. Mary's and get the auto bid.
And a healthy 21.5 point favorite tonight on the road against Shantae Leggett's Portland Pilot. So, you know, it's not like the competition is great there night in, night out in the WCC. As Tim Murray joins us right now, host of VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday here on the network. Follow him at 1 Tim Murray. At least for the other games tonight here, Tim, no place for you. But what do you make of this spot for Wazoo, who's kind of played themselves off the bubble? They've had a really good stretch recently under Kyle Smith, catching 13 on the road in Tucson at Arizona tonight.
Yeah, I would actually look, if anything, look Arizona here. It's a revenge spot for Arizona. And, you know, it's not the same situation, Ben, but we saw this last week, right? Indiana State gets ranked for the first time since 1979. They lose to Illinois State as a 17.5 point favorite. Washington State, a little bit different. First time ranked since 2008. So it has been a long time. Kyle Smith has done an absolutely remarkable job. As you said, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. But Arizona, I kind of think they're kind of going into gear right now. You got that revenge angle. I don't like laying points, but it would be Arizona or pass for me in this spot. I think it's a really good spot for the Cats to make a statement tonight out there in Tucson.
At bettors have been squarely on Arizona. That's moved up a point and a half since the open. He's Tim Murray. Yep. Follow him at 1, Tim Murray. Tim, always great to talk to you, pal.
All right. See you, Ben.
Tim will have his show tonight as well. Check out VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern as well. We'll talk some NBA MVP when we come back.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live at Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Ben Wilson in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin with me on the desk. Excited to talk more NBA here in hour number two. And I did realize, Kelly, blame it on my brain not being used to functioning this early. I did say the Bucks had the third easiest strength of schedule. That was wrong. Third toughest strength of schedule. So if you cashed the ticket on me misinterpreting the strength of schedule odds page once on the show today, as the New York Times would say.
Yeah,
we regret the error.
You just flipped them. Yeah, you just flipped them. It's okay.
People are probably going like,
they wish they had the third easiest.
This guy's from Milwaukee. He's just trying to find every excuse in the book to get a Giannis MVP bet in, help out his pal Kelly. No, that's not what I meant. We have a lot more to discuss NBA-wise. Yes, Bucks with a difficult schedule here out of the All-Star break. And speaking of Wisconsin guys, bring on our pal Nick Whalen. I love to have a fellow Wisconsinite here on the network, and Nick's been an OG here of our VSiN guests as we welcome him back on a numbers game for the first time in a while. You see his work at RotoWire, Sirius XM NBA host as well. Nick, great to see you as we come out of the break. What is your take, at least on the Milwaukee Bucks front of this, where Doc Rivers certainly made a lot of headlines over the All-Star break about the timing of his hiring, all the circumstances around that, and where the team is at the moment. Where do you see this Bucks team going in their final 25 or so games in the regular season, currently half game back of Cleveland for the two seed?
Yeah, guys, it's great to be back, first and foremost. I mean, there's no greater thrill in my life than getting that text from Kelly Bidlin asking me to come on the show. I love it. It's always a thrill. Look, guys, I'm souring on the Bucks, man. I was the Bucks defender in all of my Milwaukee sports group chats over the last couple of months. I was like, all right, pump the brakes here, guys. They're going to be fine. I don't know if they're going to be fine, man. I mean, they're 7-1 right now to win the title. I don't think I would bet that. I still think Boston is that team that has been by far the most consistent, the team that has the highest floor and the highest ceiling in the Eastern Conference. And to me, there are two things wrong with the Milwaukee Bucks. For one, they have not received the version of Damian Lillard that they thought they were getting. Damian Lillard has shot under 30% from three for well over a month now. We're talking like a 25 game sample where he's been one of the highest volume 3-point shooters in the league and one of the least efficient 3-point shooters in the league. And if you're sacrificing depth, if you're sacrificing arguably the best defensive guard in the NBA in Drew Holiday to bring in Damian Lillard, you need him to be one of the 10 to maybe 15 at worst best players in the NBA. And if you look at some of the advanced numbers, they would imply that he's like the 30th best player in the NBA this season. That's not the bill of goods that the Bucks were sold when they made this trade. So first and foremost, they need Damian Lillard to start playing like Damian Lillard, or this is a team that's going to lose in the second round of the playoffs. The other thing is the depth, guys. We knew they sent out, Grayson Allen, Drew Holiday, obviously, as part of that deal. This is a team that just really doesn't feel like whenever somebody's out, and most recently it's been Chris Middleton, all of a sudden it's like, man, we're playing guys who are just not ready, right? Pat Connaughton has not really taken that step forward that they needed him to. Bobby Portis has been fine off the bench, but he hasn't taken a step forward. They're asking way too much of guys like Patrick Beverley and Jay Crowder, who are well beyond their prime years. And, players like Andre Jackson and Marion Beauchamp, I like both of those guys. I was hoping to see more out of them. Doc Rivers historically does not love to play young players like that, and he's been hesitant to do so. Giannis is having an all-time season, and to me, as of right now, it feels like it might be going to waste.
A lot of campaign minutes is all I would say. I would say on that, Nick. As far as you're looking, maybe further down the board too, and Milwaukee very, very easily could be a team where those the issues that they have finally do get exposed in the postseason, just like they had last year. Currently 50.5 on their win total at the moment here in season. If you're looking at other teams in the East, though, with Cleveland having made a run, the other squads that have certainly been able to stabilize there in the East and could potentially be a really tough matchup for Boston come playoff time, who would you look at if you're going further down the board in the East?
Yeah, I have a lot more thoughts on the West, guys. The East for me is it's really Boston. I'm really firm on the Celtics right now. You can make the case for the Cavs. Obviously, they've been the best team net rating wise in the East by a mile over the last month and a half. I think a lot of people look at the Cavs in the same way that they do the Timberwolves, and they're like, all right, this is fun. This is a really good team, a great regular season team. Are we really going to pick them to go into Boston and win a 7-game series? Probably not. I still think they would struggle even in a series against Milwaukee, as down as I may be on the Bucks. I think the Sixers are the other obvious one, and it comes down 100% to when is Joel Embiid back? If he's coming back for the first round of the playoffs with no ramp up period, I think you're asking a lot. You're asking a lot of a guy who's been injured plenty of times throughout his career, and who also has not played well in the postseason. I think that's the other thing with Philly is even if Embiid comes back and gets 3 weeks worth of regular season games under his belt, he has never shown any semblance of consistency or the same type of ceiling that he's shown in the regular season in the playoffs. So I still have a lot of questions about Philly. I have a lot of questions about Milwaukee. I think things are shaping up really, really well for Boston. I will say, if you're looking for a long shot in the East, it's still Miami for me, guys. They're 35-1 to win the title. They're 13-1 to win the Eastern Conference. I'm not quitting this team. I know they struggled right after getting Terry Rozier. I know they've had a bunch of injuries, but I still think this might be the deepest team in the Eastern Conference outside of Boston. And obviously we've seen this Miami team make runs like this before.
Can't wait for that Milwaukee 2-7 versus Miami, Kelly. It's going to be inevitable. I'm going to hate – Nick and I will hate ourselves for
that's
that.
It's going to be zero fun.
No fun whatsoever. Nick Whalen joining us right now, outstanding senior analyst for RotoWire, also SiriusXM NBA host. So if you go to the West, where it is definitely more wide open right now, your short shot is the Clippers at plus 250. How do you analyze where things are at odds-wise as we head into this home stretch?
The Clippers are really interesting. I think there are the obvious caveats of is Kawhi Leonard making it through the playoffs? Is Paul George making it through the playoffs? You could say the same things about James Harden as we just did about Joel Embiid, one of the all-time kind of playoff no-show guys among future Hall of Famers. So Yeah, I mean, I love what I'm seeing from the Clippers. If you could guarantee me health, I think they are a team that could topple the Nuggets out West. I still think Denver is the safest bet. But my Miami Heat of the West, if you're looking for that value right now, it's the Dallas Mavericks, 30-1 to win the title. I love what the Mavericks did at the trade deadline. It was a pretty quiet deadline overall. We saw a lot of role players changing teams. But I think Dallas was like the one team that really addressed exactly what they needed, which was beefing up their front court and maybe more importantly, just getting Grant Williams off of this roster in general. I mean, they had to mortgage their future to do it. I'm okay with that because they're one of those teams that is in prove to Luka Doncic that he needs to re-sign with us mode. So you got to do whatever it takes. I don't care what your draft situation looks like in 2028. I love the addition of PJ Washington. I love the addition of Daniel Gafford. They won 6 in a row heading into All-Star weekend. And guys, we've seen Luka Doncic carry a vastly inferior version of this Mavericks team all the way to the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago. I think this is maybe the best supporting cast that he's had around him. So I'm not saying I'm picking the Mavs to win the finals, but if you don't want to bet one of those short shots, I think Dallas at 30-1 is the best value.
Sure. 6-game win streak heading into the break now for the Dallas Mavericks. Occupy that 7th seed in the West as we start post All-Star break games tonight. And again, Nick Whalen joining us right now on a numbers game. Follow him at Whalen. Just substitute the L with the number 1. Great, great handle he has as we're talking all things NBA here coming out of the All-Star break on ANG and the Coach of the Year race. That's a really fascinating one, just odds-wise, because you've got two coaches who have led wildly overachieving teams, yet they're in the same conference. They're top of the order on the odds board. And you're trying to figure out, okay, between Mark Daigneault at 2-1 or Chris Finch at 225 right now, what's the way to go? And is there another coach who could work their way in the mix with a lot of really good coaching jobs and teams who have come seemingly out of nowhere this season?
Yeah, I love Coach of the Year, guys. I'm a Coach of the Year junkie, both for NBA and NFL. I think it's a really fun award to break down every year. I will say I'm not really fired up about betting Mark Daigneault or betting Chris Finch right now. You know, it kind of feels like the narrative for them is, well, you know, one of these teams is going to win the West and maybe that's good enough. Coach of the Year typically comes down to one of two narratives. It's either the best coach of the best team, or more commonly, it's the coach who does the most with the least amount of talent. And I know you can make the argument that maybe Mark Daigneault fits both of those criteria, but I think anybody who's paying attention to the NBA this offseason, it's not a shock that the Oklahoma City Thunder are a top 3 team in the Western Conference, right? It's not like everybody was picking this team to be the 9 seed. I think it makes sense. They have, you know, a guy who's plus 210 to win the MVP right now. You know, they're getting great minutes out of Chet Holmgren. Jalen Williams has taken a step forward. Like, there's plenty of talent on this team. So I don't know that Mark Daigneault's narrative is quite as strong as the board would imply right now. Feel the same way about Chris Finch. Obviously, there's plenty of talent on that Minnesota team. I don't know that I'd really bet Ty Lue at plus 650 unless you think the Clippers win the West by a few games. You know, typically, if you get the best coach on the best team narrative, you got to win like 60 games because there tend to be some other better narratives out there. And look, there's a ton of talent on that Clippers team, too. It's like, are we really giving Ty Lue the credit for a team that has Paul George, James Harden, and Kawhi Leonard? I'm not really sure. A long shot that I like here, guys, and this is one that I've bet here, Jamal Mosley, the Orlando Magic, 48-1. Nice. To me, this is a guy that fits the doing more with less narrative better than anybody right now. And you want to talk about remaining schedules, Ben. Orlando has the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA by a wide margin. Their remaining opponent win percentage is 43.5%. I would also take them over 45.5 wins, by the way. That's minus 110 at DraftKings. They just have to go 16-11 the rest of the way. They have 8 games remaining against Detroit, Washington, Charlotte, Memphis, and Portland. They also play that bad Toronto team 2 more times. That's like 40% of their remaining schedule right there. So for Jamal Mosley to contend for this award, they need to probably get to the 6th seed, maybe even the 5th seed in the East. But I think that's feasible, guys. They're only 2.5 behind Philly for 5th right now. Sixers have a tough schedule. Obviously, they don't have Joel Embiid. Jamal Mosley, I don't know if he wins it, but I can tell you a month from now, he's not going to be 48-1.
Great. So you and Kelly Bidlin in lockstep. Kelly, all over that Magic in-season win total over. Great stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Nick, in the last 30 seconds, any best bet you have for the card tonight here as we come out of the break?
Yeah, I'll throw out a few props quickly, guys. I'm looking at Jalen Brunson over 6.5 assists. This has been one of my pet props all year. Sixers are the 2nd worst defense and give up the 2nd most assists per game over the last 10 games heading into the All-Star break. Love that one. Also looking at Trey Mann in Charlotte. Give me the over 23.5 PRA for him. That's minus 110. Fantastic matchup tonight against a Utah Jazz team that is basically in the bottom five in just about every defensive metric.
Great. Hey, I picked him up in my little 20-team fantasy league. Trey Mann, great pickup for me. Nick. Hey, always good to see you, man. Be well.
Hey, great stuff, guys.
We will have more NBA discussions still to come. We'll talk some college basketball conference odds as well as the NHL MVP market, though, on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on college basketball or college baseball for that matter, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming College Hoops betting guide, bracket breakdowns, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting split breakdowns on every game. Visit VSiN.com/pro to subscribe today. That is VSIN.com/pro. And we are giving the people what they want, Kelly, here each of the next 2 days. College baseball talk season is underway. Arguably the most media coverage nationally that college baseball and most interest in general we've ever had in college baseball with such good talent now at the top. And as a result of that, we're going to talk in earnest college baseball each of the next couple of shows with Matt Grissom, our pal from NCAA Insiders, who joins us right now, a guy who I feel like I always have a 50-50 shot of running into at Legacy Club whenever I get off the elevator, Kelly. It's like
it does feel like that, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure of the times I've been at Legacy Club, at least half, I've gotten onto an elevator and I see Matt just standing there. Which is always great. Always a nice surprise.
He popped up over here at the D just a month or two ago. Yeah. So
most notably, the last time was at Stormy's, I guess, reception.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I didn't even see her. And Ben said she was wearing white. And I thought, good job, Ben. Thank
She's wearing white.
That.
I mean, I'm factually correct, Matt. There might have been a few. Yes,
absolutely. That's very thorough.
You know, when the G and T's start flowing, you know, you start just going on autopilot mode. So that may or may not have been a
factor. Legacy's got my number.
No doubt. So Matt heading to Dallas tonight, where the Dallas really become the home now of the early season college baseball. I was there last weekend calling games. Matt, you'll be there watching a lot of the big name teams this weekend, as well as there's the tournament as well next weekend. I'll be back there next week here. So just early on, as we take the really macro picture, because a lot of people are kind of getting into this and saying, okay, what do I need to know about the season in general here? With the way that the popularity has grown, and now there are so many more expanded markets, we have odds to make the College World Series now, in addition to the futures, just in general to win it all in Omaha. Where would you start if you're looking at a bettor who's coming in saying, okay, help me out, I need to figure out the lay of the land in college baseball as it stands today? What would you tell that bettor here just trying to get involved here and get their feet wet?
I mean, I think people that watch VSiN know baseball is one of the flukiest sports there is, and college baseball's no stranger to that as well. But surprisingly, it's a very chalky sport. You look back at the last 10 national champions, they were all preseason ranked in the top 25, and 9 out of 10 were preseason ranked in the top 8. Of course, the top 8 teams at the end of the season go to Omaha, where they'll compete in a double elimination for the College World Series, National Series, which we saw LSU beat Florida in last year. So, I mean, when you're looking at outside of Coastal Carolina in that 2016 season where they were preseason ranked number 23, it's all the top 8 from beginning to end, even with Ole Miss kind of falling off. I think they dropped out of the top 25 when they won it. They fell out in week 8, and lo and behold, the aggregate came back and, you know, they were preseason number 5. They ended number 1 in the country. So You want to look at those long shots, you know, if you love to beat your chest and say you got a lot of CLV on a value dog. You know, we did it with Campbell last year. And unfortunately, now with the transfer portal, it's kind of all Power 5 driven. And I think you're going to see more and more of it year in and year out in college baseball. So the unfortunate thing is if there's a team you like on the board, you're better off just kind of waiting until they drop a series, because most of the time you will. I mean, you've seen Tennessee already lose a game. Wake already got upset. Arkansas lost 1 of 4 to James Madison. Vanderbilt doesn't look very good. So right now, the only teams that I would consider value plays that I think their number just continues to drop would be like your Oregon State, Clemson, maybe TCU. I know they got a big scare. They may be the luckiest team to be 3-0 after that weekend. But yeah, it really just boils down to pitching for me. That's where I like to anchor every bit of my handicap around a team. But then you look at like Oregon State right now, they've got 9 guys, I think, batting over 1,000 OPS, which is super impressive. And me as a Razorback fan, very concerned to see how Hagan Smith responds Friday night when we take on the Beavers.
Yeah, Arkansas, Oregon State, one of the headline games there in Arlington. It's Globe Life Field this weekend as Matt Grissom joins us right now on a numbers game. You and I have a very similar approach where it is most of these teams, not to say they can't all hit, but they all can mash, right, up and down the lineup. The differentiating factor is the pitching. And can you find a rotation of weekend starters that can carry you into the postseason and a bullpen that's got enough depth to get you 27 outs? As you take a look at the landscape right now of those teams that are going to be contenders once we get into May in the postseason, who are at least bettable here to make a deep run, how do you handicap the teams with the best staffs just in general right now on the pitching side?
Well, we're still compiling a lot of stats. I mean, we have a very small sample size. Like I said, Oregon State looks really good on offense. Florida, we don't really know because they had 2 of their games rained out after dropping that upset in game 1. I don't think Florida makes it back to Omaha now. I don't think Cade Fisher was ready to be the Friday night ace, which replacing guys like Brandon Sproat, Hurston Waldrop, it's a tough task. Wake Forest, they look legit, but is there any value at taking them 7-1? They may be a team that doesn't drop a series all season long in the ACC. So that may be, you know, the best number that you can get them at. But we saw LSU last year, you know, they were around 7-1 at this time of the season. If you waited, I think once Omaha started, you could have gotten them as a plus, I think 12-1 or 11-1. But for me, I like Oregon State. If they beat Arkansas, I guarantee their odds get slashed again. They've already started dropping. And then TCU. I think TCU is very young, and Kirk Sarlis has got a really good team there. If they can figure it out, you know, they had some magic last year running through the Fayetteville Regional, and then they got blessed to be in the Indiana State Terre Haute Regional. But TCU's got some guys that can pitch, and they've got guys that can hit as well. So TCU, Clemson, Oregon State, those would be some that I may look at placing a future on.
I mean, I had TCU 40-1 last year after opening weekend, and they looked really bad in the regular season. Then they found their stride.
Yeah,
that's right. That's really kind of the theme, though, Matt. You talk about SEC and Big 12 teams. Those leagues are so deep. It is very easy to have midseason swoons and all of a sudden find yourself maybe not necessarily on the bubble to actually get in, but to at the very least and not have your odds reflect all that favorably. So if you're looking, you know, look at SEC, for example, where 6 of the 8 favorites on the odds board to win it all reside in the SEC. What's a team or two in that league who, let's say they get off to a tough start in conference play, you would feel comfortable in taking a shot on a longer number if that slow start were to happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened last year with South Carolina. They started slow and then they started clicking. I think their biggest surprise was when they beat Paul Skeens on that Friday night start. With Noah Hall, I think, was the starter for South Carolina. But you just have to watch the season. This is a very volatile market. I mean, a $100 bet swings and drops lines. It is very sensitive. So all you need is your favorite team to drop a series throughout the regular season, and I guarantee you, you'll get some, you know, more value on their money line to win it all.
I will admit, the thing too, Matt, you know, I get so close to the sun on this because we talked to all the coaches, we know all the rosters super intimately, and that's where I find myself. I'll naturally look at that 60-1 range teams that are ranked to start the year, kind of like you talked about, who I just think the upside is really, really good. And you know, I know Texas Tech just got blasted by Oregon State in a midweek game, but I came away really impressed with that team. And, you know, talking to their head coach, Tim Tadlock, he was saying, you know, they don't have a lot of stars on the pitching staff, but they are really, really deep. And it kind of reminded him of previous College World Series runs. That's a team at 60-1 right now. I'm at least looking at. What do you make of teams like that who might not be the sexiest? They might not be high on the odds board, but do you agree that a team like a Tech has at least the upside to be a group that you will see in a regional and be live to at least make a super, if not Omaha in general?
Absolutely. I mean, Texas, it's hard to pitch out there in Lubbock. I think you made reference to that out last weekend. But you look at the Big 12 as a whole, Texas doesn't look like they're going to have Tanner Witt this year. They've got LeBaron Johnson Jr. I don't know what they're 25-1 right now. their pitching is still a question mark. Pitching for Texas Tech is a question mark. I know Zane Petty and Kyle Robinson, they've got decent stuff. I just don't know if they've got enough to make the push through, you know, a super regional against the SEC opponent or whoever they end up facing. That there's a lot of good teams. There's no great teams this year, so I think you have a lot more parity. I do think Wake Forest will be dominant, but you know, you could look at a team like Virginia, who I think has a lot of experience as well in the ACC. You could move on down the board and look at a Coastal Carolina. That's a mid-major that can really swing the bat. The Killer Bees, I think they've got four or five guys that bat double-digit home runs, some blast name B. That's going to be a fun team to bet a lot of overs on this year and just to keep an eye on, because if there is one mid-major that I feel like could click and make it all the way to Omaha, it's Coastal Carolina. And their pitching was always a question mark, but here, you know, over the last few starts that they've had, they've been decent.
No doubt. And it's also a way you can bet this, not just in the overall futures market, but to make it to Omaha. Coastal Carolina 4-1. A team like Texas Tech is 6-1, where it gives you a little bit shorter window there to potentially get off and you know, monetize that ticket. Matt Grissom, always a pleasure, man. Great to see you. Check out their show on NCAA Insiders. They do a great job breaking down college baseball. Great to see you, Matt. Enjoy Dallas this weekend.
Hey, thank you, guys.
And we will have more college baseball discussion as well. I'll get into some of my favorite futures bets tomorrow on the show. So give out our best bets. Wrap things up next.